This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Yes, sir.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo, I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait. Let's get it.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 11 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. Alan Han, Bart Scott. Bart, give him the number.
1-800-919-3776
for kids.
Oh yeah, we can do that. Let me say that again.
1-800-919-3776 for kids.
If you're the kids are happy because the Dodgers won. But if you can't catch us on the phone lines because, you know what I'm saying, everybody, you know, jamming up, you know, Anthony with all the calls, just go ahead and hit us on the tweet, and we'll read your tweets at Barton Hahn. If you can't get us on the tweets, DM Allen on the gram at Barton Hahn.
Don't do that.
And if not, then Bill, tell them where they can find us, Bill.
Snapface, instant chat, or whatever it is.
Yeah, man, whatever.
Bill sounds sad. Bill sounds sad today. Maybe he needs a quarterback.
Quarterback?
Yeah. No. that is part of the issue. And by the way, don't DM me, because as you saw on our group chat yesterday, did you see the I got a very nice DM from Christy. Single, looking for a boyfriend. Click here to learn more.
Is that a robocall?
I don't even know what you're talking about, shorty.
When I clicked, I learned a lot of things. Things that I probably didn't want to know, including that Christy is really not 21. And it's not named Christy.
Did you check the IP address?
And I need a new phone. Oh, man. So, yes, as you mentioned, the Dodgers win last night, Game 6 of the World Series, which had storyline after storyline after storyline, and we will – you have to tune in at 12, as you always would anyway. Buster Olney's going to join us, and you know he's going to have not only a ton of information but a perspective. Buster's the guy that didn't even think they were going to play a season, and they did at least finish it, but oh, my God, did they just barely get to the end. And maybe, just maybe – Have we seen sort of that end of the overuse of analytics? Like, have the people finally spoken? Is there a rebellion starting to build against analytics where the people are rioting now? Rioting that you are scripting games based on numbers rather than just let the game play and feel it. You get that spidey sense and you just stay with it. Maybe we're going to learn that, and I hope Brian Cashman's watching this thing. Of course he's not, because he's defiant, but still. There is a rebellion, I feel like, building in sports against analytics. Pushing you, pushing back, saying, give me my sport back. Right? Let me see my game. Let me see the game the way I want to watch it. Not because you're going to script it. This ain't reality TV. This is sports. It's different.
And you got to put the human element into it.
Man, so we'll get into that. And then, of course, human element. You're absolutely right. I'm sorry, Bart. And then there's Justin Turner and that whole, the COVID thing, and that, how Rob Manfred is like, he couldn't get off that stage and out of that building fast enough. Like, oh, my God, let's get out of this season before it's too late. As he has COVID, and they found out during the game, how did that even happen? Who knows? But still, the Dodgers win the World Series. LA now has two champions. Looking at you, Rams. And so now another sport completes a season through the pandemic. And all that's left now, Bart, is the NFL.
That's all we got, baby.
That's all we got. There is nothing to watch sports-wise tonight. Nothing. There's nothing to watch. We haven't had that in a long time.
So we can exhale because, you know, do we have Thursday night football this week?
Yeah.
Okay, because you know, with all the rescheduling and stuff. So we got Thursday football. Mm-hmm. So you get the exhale, but then the football's right back in your face. They're gonna hit you on Thursday, then they're gonna hit you on Saturday, then they're gonna hit you on Sunday, then they're gonna hit you on Monday. So take a break. Go do some of those.
Your Falcons, by the way.
Yeah, playing
tonight against the Panthers. I know everybody's excited.
You mean tomorrow?
Thursday.
Tomorrow's Thursday.
I know.
Oh, okay. I'll be forgetting the days, man. I'll be down in this basement. It's just like sun up, sun down.
What are you drinking there? Would you get something from Wendy's?
What happened to all the sunlight?
What do you got?
That frosty chino. Listen,
Oh no! It's warning not good, everybody.
Though. It's not good though, because the thing is, when they made it for us before, they had the ice cream and it floated in there. Now they just shake it through, so it's just like you got coffee with cream. Before, remember, they put a big old scoop of ice cream in there. And they changed the way they make it, and this wasn't the way it was designed to happen.
But I'm looking at that thing, and you're just starting it. So I'm going to say this to everybody listening: around 11:45. Bart's suddenly going to like he's going beast mode. Like Bart, like all of a sudden, David Banner is going to turn into the Hulk. Like this is coming. Because I see the size of that cup that you've got there filled with the Frostachino. And if you get through that, like I've seen you get through these things, we're in for a show. We're absolutely in for a show.
Well, let's do it. Well, let's do it, damn it.
Yeah, let's do it. Again, 800-919-3776. There's also a Jets-related story here that I feel this. Staying on the baseball news just real quick. Steve Cohen, we could know by Friday.
Nice.
Could be by Friday. Steve Cohen officially. Would it be official? Is there another layer we got to get through here? Either way, we'll know by Friday. Steve Cohen as Mets owner. Then it'd be real interesting to see what decisions.
I already got my wish list.
Yeah, your wish list is interesting. So we'll break down that. Of course, again, Buster at noon. We'll talk with him about that stuff. Blitzer Preview, we'll do at 11:45. And there's some stuff in there as well that's interesting going on in different phases of the world of sports. We have baseball, basketball, and football all in Blitzer Preview. But I gotta mention this Jets story out of the gate with you, because I know people are getting kind of, you know, we're all getting our panties in a bunch about this stuff now. Yeah. And I feel like this is an overreaction, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't react. Here's Trevor Lawrence on a Zoom interview with reporters. Now, remember, this is the Clemson reporters. It's not a national stage kind of thing. It's just him and the Clemson reporters and, of course, a bunch of people from New York who always seem to, who are hovering now around him.
They probably stand out there now. How many people moved out there? How many agents live out there?
Well, you have to. Like, you got to now follow this guy around. So here's Trevor Lawrence when asked about, and you'll hear the question, about basically whether or not he's going to definitely leave Clemson after this season.
I don't know. I mean, we'll just have to see how things unfold. I think there's a lot of factors in that. But honestly, just really playing this year, putting everything I have into it, not really focusing on next year, whether, you know, I leave or stay, whatever. Obviously, I have the option to do either one. Kind of my mindset's been that I'm going to move on, but who knows? There's a lot of things that could happen. Just really focusing on this year, not trying to look ahead, not trying to worry about that. Obviously, I can't control it, and really just trusting that God has a plan for me no matter where that is, no matter where I go, whether that's across the country, whether that's close to home, where I stay another year, no matter what it is, you know, we'll work it out. So I'm not sure. That's a tough one, but we'll see how it all unfolds.
Now, really? Again, we'll see how it all unfolds is interesting. There's a lot of factors in that interesting. Those are the phrases that if you saw him on paper and didn't listen to him or see his face, you would say, oh, my God, he's going to pull a Peyton Manning. But not for a second am I buying any thought. Like, he's graduating, by the way, in December.
Right. So what are you going to stay for? Let's get a championship. Oh, you already won one. Man, kick rocks, bro.
Yeah. He's like, no one, I don't think anybody believes it. But him saying how it's going to unfold and stuff to me, it might just sort of be that, like Joe Burrow last year. Like, it's just sort of that, like, let me have some semblance of control here. Or was he just simply saying, I'm talking to the reporters who cover this team. I've been here for 3 years. I know everybody well. I don't want to sit here and just start grandstanding like I'm leaving when we still got a championship to win. I can't talk about me leaving right now. Right, so let's worry about that. Let's see how it all works out. Right now, my focus is Clemson. Would you say, BS translator, Bart, is he focused? Is he just trying to keep the focus on right now and not talk about later because he doesn't feel like it's the right thing for him to do? Or is he really saying, I don't know, maybe I don't want to play in New York. Maybe I don't want to play for the Jets. If they're number one, maybe I want to come back to Clemson.
Right now, how can you even make that statement, right? Because it's not like the Atlanta Falcons are not in the running. It's not like the Jacksonville Jaguars aren't in the running for it. It's not that the Dallas Cowboys ain't potentially involved in this. There's a lot of teams that can, you know, two wins ain't a lot to get. You know, and sometimes, you know, teams can mess up and mess around and win a game. You know, you were hoping that the Jets didn't do that last week, but they can mess around and get everybody back and win one. Let's not discount the Giants, too, at one win as well. So for him to make that statement, a lot of factors would be, like, to me, would be short-sighted, the fact that he thinks that it's a foregone conclusion that the Jets are the team. And I don't think that he would dislike the Jets as a team. You know, anyway, I don't know if he had that, but that's him just pretty much, you know, pandering to his base, talking to his people, trying to make them inspired that we would come back. Everybody in that, listen, if he said he was staying, the team would say, I'm taking your scholarship. Like, there is no way that Dabo Sweeney is
going like, to get out of here. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
No, we cut him. Kind of detrimental.
Now here's Trevor Lawrence on September 12th on College Game Day, knowing full well he's now on the national stage talking to ESPN.
Yeah.
So a much different tone about his future. Take a listen.
I just love football. I'm graduating in December. Planning on this being my last season. Just really excited to have one more with my brothers, with my teammates, my coaches that I've grown so close to over the past 3 years. Definitely respect everyone else's decision, but I mean, I'm a football player. I know I'm more than that, but at the end of the day, that's what I love to do.
See, we had the music for dramatic effect, of course, and to make it confusing.
Exactly.
But you see how he said, this is my last season. So I feel like what he just said yesterday was more of a, I'm in the moment right now. Things are going to happen. We'll see how it all plays out, but I'm not.
You know what
I can't
like.
Talk about next year.
You know what that's like. That's like when you got that girlfriend and you about to go to college or you about to go to the pros. I'm like, yeah, baby, I'm going to be with you. It's me and you forever, baby. You was here for day one. So did you get that girl slide your DMs? I'm out! Just ask Russell Wilson. I'm out. Like, Sierra likes me.
Yeah.
Sorry, baby. It's been real. Hey, put your mom on the phone. Yeah, Dottie. Yeah, this is me, Dottie. Yeah, I ain't coming home no more. Yeah. You take care. Take care of the kids.
He's 20. Just turned 21.
Remember Dwight Howard?
3 years.
Remember Dwight Howard?
Yeah.
When he came in, oh my! It was the funniest thing ever when Dwight Howard came into the NBA and he was riding about to come from high school. He was talking about he's here to save souls and he's going to bring people to Christ. They're like, listen, kid, let's just focus on yourself. Meanwhile, three baby mamas later or four baby mamas later, like all of a sudden, like he ran around rocking out with his you know what out.
We didn't mean he was literally going to bring life to people.
Yeah, exactly. He was out there planting seeds. He out there shooting up the club like Michael Phelps. He got them swimmers on multiple bodies. Like, come on, man. Did you get gold medals everywhere? Yeah. Did you hear the story about the kid that out in LA that he was playing for the championship? He didn't even visit him. Like, come on, man. Like, stop it, bro.
Yeah, we all have the best intentions. No, I get it.
That's what Trevor Lawrence is. Like, yeah. No, I want to stay. I'm out!
31-1 in college. I mean, what are you doing? Like, I just think we needed something to talk about. But I'll tell you what. And we'll mention it coming up. We're going to take some calls here. But coming up, I will tell you why, though, if you're the Jets. You can look at this and not feel like it's a threat from Trevor Lawrence. Don't look at it that way. I don't think it is. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't pay attention to history, because there is a reason that this could be still a cautionary tale if you're the Jets. And so that's something I'll tell you coming up. 800-919-3776. But, Barb, we got a lot of calls.
Let's
get to them because we got Buster Only coming up. We got Blitzer Briefing coming up. So here's our time to talk to the people. Let's do it now. And we do it with Mike, who's in upstate New York. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Han. Hey, Bart.
What up?
First thing I just want to say, I've been listening to that for a long time, but this is the first time calling you. And Bart, thank you for some of my greatest memories. I suggest that, seriously.
Damn, that's been a long time ago. Let's get some more.
Makes you feel it right here, doesn't it, Bart? Yeah.
I know. I'm 32 years old. I only actually got to witness good Jets football when you played. So, I know. It sucks. But I just want to talk about the Trevor Lawrence thing. And I don't think he's going to stay behind. It is somewhat of like a threatening type of statement to say that, you know, he's not sure what he's going to do. But I think that's what Hall was alluding to, that, you know, that's all he has to say right now. He can't really say much else after that. He's just trying to live in the moment. My point being, though, is the Jets right now, when everybody looks at them, they're so dysfunctional. And to see a good quarterback like that wanting to come out doesn't go together. So what the Jets need to do right now is get some credibility back to the organization. They need to get rid of Adam Gase as soon as possible.
Yeah, they need
to start looking for coaches. And on top of that, the one person I could think of right now who I would love for them to go after, give him as much money as he needs to get out of retirement, would be Urban Meyer. What do you guys think?
You're the second person in 2 days, Mike, and thanks for the call, and don't make it your last time calling in. Second person out has mentioned Urban Meyer.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, yeah, you're not in on that, are you? If you're going college, would you say Harbaugh would be the guy you would go after?
I'm going David Shaw.
And David Shaw, you mentioned from Stanford as well, who is a very intriguing name.
He has a temperament. He has relationships throughout the NFL because mm-hmm. he was an NFL coach for a long time before he went to college. You know, I would go that route because I know he can build together a good staff. And he is your offensive coordinator. He is your offensive-minded coach. He was a receivers coach. He played receiver in the league. A lot of people may not know that, but he was in the NFL as well. You know, so he's a guy that I think has a temperament. He's been around the right type of people. He understands how to build a team. He understands how to represent your organization. He may not be that flashy pick for people, but he can be that reliable pick. Like, for a while, nobody really was on the Matt Rhule train. You know, he got momentum later.
A lot of unknowns with him because he bounced around. You know, he didn't have a lot of things established right. yet. But everywhere
right. he was at Temple.
But everywhere he went, right, he affected change pretty quickly, and he's doing the same thing in Carolina. Now, look, they made a bad hire. Chris Johnson made a bad hire. But Peyton Manning, like, gave him the advice. If Peyton Manning calls you and says, "No, I vouch for this guy," you kind of might want to listen to Peyton Manning.
They should have told Peyton Manning, the offense struggle. You got to come be the offensive coordinator. How about that?
Yeah, if he's so good, why don't you come join him?
Exactly. Come be the offensive coordinator. Forget breaking down the clips of whatever on ESPN Prime, which is a good show. You know, come on, do it for real.
Detail's great, but you put some detail into Sam Darnold. Speaking of which, Jay is in Clifton on Sam. Go ahead, Jay.
Listen, man. You guys are amazing.
Thank you.
You guys literally get me through the day. There's no other radio but you guys. There's no music in my car but ESPN Radio. That's why we try to
focus on music, because we want to give you a little something too, because you're staying with us. I like hearing music, so we try to play good music for you.
Today's soundtrack,
by the way, has got a theme. So yeah, stay with us.
How old are you?
I'm 22, man. I just turned 22 not too long ago.
I got Chester older than you, bro. You may not understand Brett some of these songs that we're doing. You may not understand some of these songs, but just go Google it.
Nah, man. I got a good gist of the good, you know. I just got a quick take, man. You know, I'm a Saints fan. You know, Drew Brees is leaving out the door soon. Do you think Sam Darnold would be a good fit if Sean Payne grabs him? You know, hypothetically, would we be able to do something with Sam Darnold, you know, Trevor Lawrence would probably get out the draft, you know?
Well, I think they already have their quarterback of the future in Jameis Winston, somebody that they had a close look at in the division. Jameis Winston took a cheap contract for a reason. Remember, Jameis Winston's making less money than Blake Bortles was, or I forgot the other Jacksonville quarterback, Blaine Gabbert, is making. You know what I mean? So he's making more money, less money than them. But he went there because he knew it was an opportunity that, you know, Drew Brees wasn't going to be there for a long time. Teddy got tired of waiting. I think this is the year. If you look at Drew Brees and how he's playing, they're all in for this season. And if they don't win this season, I think they're going to respectably move on. You know, Drew Brees took the pay cut, $25 million, so they can go get Emmanuel Sanders, so they can go out and be aggressive in free agency. But I think this is Jameis Winston. I think you look at Sean Payton. Sean Payton's not going anywhere. Sean Payton says, hey, I don't want to start over with a young quarterback. I want to go with a proven quarterback that has played well but just needs to have some polish, not turn the ball over. Because Jameis Winston is talented. He's just a bad decision maker. And I think this year was all about trying to make him a better decision maker. But why do that when he already knows the offense and he's just as young? You know, only three years older than Sam Darnold.
800-919-3776. We've got some baseball calls. We'll get back to the football, of course. But we got some baseball calls to get to as well as the World Series. Matt is in Summit with an interesting take on the Dodgers win. Go ahead, Matt.
Fellas, how are you? Thank you so much for picking the call. You guys are next level, and so I really appreciate you guys. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Just super quick on the Jets thing, because I've called in on this. There is a narrative that's being created. Whether it affects Trevor Lawrence or not, it is going to affect free agents. And so I do think the Jets have to start getting control of the narrative. And that starts with Chris Johnson firing Adam Gase today and acknowledging that he's going to give full control to Joe Douglas to hire his guy.
I agree with you, Matt.
It's 100% super important.
Agree. That would really change the way a lot of people would look at the franchise. But go ahead on the baseball.
Totally. So on baseball, what I would say as a Mets fan, you know, the Dodgers winning the World Series is the best possible thing that could have happened.
Yes.
And, you know, if the Rays had won, it would have validated the analytics approach. Yeah. And what I would say is that, you know, as a Mets fan, look, we've not had a lot of success lately. One of the best parts of being a Mets fan is kind of fantasizing the offseason about the pieces that we're going to add. you know, and we've constantly been disappointed by Wilpons not spending the money. And so here we are today with the Dodgers winning the World Series, proving, and after the Yankees and the Red Sox, that, you know, supreme talent supersedes all. And so if we can see, you know, Stevie Cohen come in and open the checkbook up, you know, yes, the Dodgers have validated it. Let's bring in talent. Let's do
okay,
it. And,
so
and it's exciting.
So guess what? I have a take on that. You can stay on for a second. This is my wish list. Trevor Bauer, Realmuto, Arenado.
Ooh.
That's what I want, damn it. I want big money.
Only a half a billion dollars in contracts? Okay.
I'm gonna say George Springer and Francisco Lindor. Add it on.
Wow,
let's do it.
That's so big.
Why not? This is what we
spend the whole bill. Why not spend a bill? Just spend a bill.
I just want my starting rotation to be DeGrom, Trevor Bauer. This would be the argument. Do you go Trevor Bauer first? Is he your ace now? He had a 1.73 ERA. Better than DeGrom. Probably going to win Cy Young this year.
Yeah.
So. And then you got Syndergaard coming back pissed off where he doesn't have to have the pressure. He's like the add-on.
Sorry, one more thing I'll say. Look,
Springer would be an interesting addition because you need that center fielder, though. That's the one name I didn't think about, but you're right. He's got some issues going on now in Houston, and Springer would be – that would be interesting, but that's a lot of money, man.
I'm going to say one last thing, and let me go. You know, my biggest problem with Brody is that he did not take the pulse of the Mets fan base, and the biggest example of that was when he brought back Familia. Mets fans loathe Familia for his follies. And for Brody to bring him back and to justify that signing was clear evidence that he was not taking the pulse of the fan base.
Matt, I get that. And there's two ways to look at that. And I'm not trying to defend Brody here because I think you're right. I think you have to know, that sense
That's
of
funny.
What the customer is feeling. But you also don't. You don't go to the fan boards to make decisions on your roster either. You make decisions based on winning. Every decision's based on winning.
That's all
you're supposed to do. But you should have a sense. If you had a choice between two players and you're like, well, wait a minute, we're bringing this guy back and the fans hate this guy. So that's not good for us. That's bad for business.
Yeah, we do.
So, but what we do know is that Brody is not long for this job.
Brody ain't gonna be here.
Yeah, and we imagine that whatever they do going forward. But let's also not think that. This is the death of analytics, because it's not. The Dodgers are very much invested in it, too. The Mets are going to be all in on analytics. It's exactly what Cohen is planning on doing. Remember what background he comes from. So there will be emphasis on numbers. What you don't want is it to be where you're paralyzed by the numbers and you're scripted the way the Rays have been, the way the Yankees have been. That's what you don't want. So we'll see if that's the case. Hey, some interesting, just sort of interesting news from Woj here on Twitter. Okay. Unless I can't wait for
him.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
So after 35 years of ownership, the Millers have entered into an agreement to sell the Utah Jazz to Qualtrics.
Oh, damn. Oh, okay. I thought you were
Yeah, see, that's why that's a quiet Woj bomb.
Yeah, here's why. It's just something to keep an eye on.
Oh, Donovan Mitchell, I want to be out. I want to be
just
part
saying.
Of this. I want to be part of this.
Just saying. Just keep your eye.
I was brought here to play for the Millers. I will not play for anybody else.
Well, just because there's a lot of that city's gone through so much. It's interesting. Just, like I said, keep an eye on that. 800-919-3776 is the number. So just quickly here, before we get back to the calls, the Trevor Lawrence thing, his quote and all that stuff, we know. BS Translator Bart already broke it down for you. He ain't going. He's leaving. It doesn't make sense for him not to. What he's saying is, I'm in the moment right now. For him to start talking middle of the season for his team, for him to start saying, like, yeah, I can't wait to go to the NFL. Yeah, this is it for me. Like, his teammates probably like, yo, can we finish the season before you start talking about next year? So you understand, he's doing the right thing. In fact, I'm impressed that he put it that way and worded it that way, because it shows you he has that wherewithal, the awareness to not just talk about himself and realize this isn't the time for me to talk about my career and my next step. We still have something to do this season. You'll love that. But of course, it does remind everybody of Peyton Manning in 1997.
A lot of scar tissue.
Yeah, there is. When he was at Tennessee, and he had that press conference in March, and basically, everybody was expecting him to announce that he was going to go into the NFL draft. The Jets had the number one pick. They had just hired Bill Parcells. It seemed like perfect. And he said, you know what? I just wanted to be a college student one more year and enjoy the experience. And hopefully the money will be there next year. And I'll just, if I can stay healthy, everything will be great. And so it turns out that Parcells wouldn't promise Manning that he would take him number one. That was the rumor, that he didn't promise him. That's the rumor. And whether or not you want to believe what side or the other, doesn't matter. The point is that Peyton Manning said, I'm going to stay in college. The Jets, who had the number one pick, then traded the number one pick for a bunch of other picks. And what they left on the table was Orlando Pace. Huh. They got really what'd they get? James Farrier. They got a bunch of picks, and it didn't turn into, and Parcells at the time said, I look at what Jimmy Johnson did with Dallas, and we're sort of trying to do the same thing here with the Jets. You got to rebuild this whole thing. So he thought he was doing the right thing by trading picks for picks and more picks. Because he traded the first for the sixth, then he traded the sixth for like the eighth and a bunch of others. Point is that, Bart, your plan, which is, I got Sam, I don't need to take Trevor, so I'll trade that number one for a boatload of picks. As I've said for a million years, draft picks are air. It's nothing until you actually make the pick and then they turn into something. So the value of a draft pick is only as good as what it becomes. And so, sure, Jimmy Johnson turned it into something, but Bill Parcells didn't.
Right.
That can set a franchise back as well, so you don't get Peyton, and you don't get anything out of those picks. That's the cautionary tale for the Jets, for a guy in Trevor Lawrence, who, and again, I love Sam, I've said this a million times. Trevor Lawrence is 21, his completion percentage in three seasons in college is 66%, and he's 31-1, and he's a national champion. You kind of feel like this guy is pretty much on that level of can't miss. So that's the danger in saying, I don't need him. I will get a bunch of picks. You better hit on a lot of those picks then.
Right. And the thing is, though, but also you have to ask yourself, do you think that right now that we're a better team with Sam Darnold and Sam Darnold going forward? Or are we going to have to take a step back, push pause on the rebuild button and start all over again? But then can he come in the league and can he light the league up like Joe Burrow and Herbert has done this year? So that's the thing. We're always a victim of like what we see now, the present, right? And it's kind of hard to kind of imagine Sam doing something. But we see all these young guys. Like I always said, like the worst thing that ever happened to the league was the fact that Joe Flacco and Mark Sanchez came in and had early success, because it put so much pressure on all the quarterbacks behind to play early. It used to be a time where guys could sit down, they learn for a year, right. then they were brought into to the starting lineup slowly. But when those guys went to AFC championships, and Ben Roethlisberger, his first year going 15-1, had early success. It made us, have that fool's gold, not understanding that those were, picks where the Jets were aggressive to move up to go get Mark Sanchez after having a 9-7 year, right? Where, the Ravens, got Joe Flacco late, but they're already a good team. So don't mistake, young quarterbacks having early success with the fact that it's more about them and not more about how good the team that they're getting picked by.
Yes.
Right, and getting them at the right time, because sometimes you have good teams that just so happen to have high picks, or they're able to have trades from the season before. And that was the case when it came to us and the Jets. That was the case when it came to us finding Flacco late in the first round, opposed to getting somebody first overall. That almost guarantees that you're a bad football team, unless it was the Colts who had Peyton Manning injured, was a good football team. But when Peyton was gone, he meant so much to that team. I thought the biggest the biggest indicator that Peyton should be the MVP almost every year was the fact that when they lost him, they only won one game. And then Peyton, after that, still hates the Jets so much.
Oh, I know.
That he went back to college and he told Adam Gase, he told Johnson,
yeah,
Chris Johnson, that was the way to
Peyton
go.
Peyton is the gift that keeps on giving to the Jets, isn't he?
Why does he hate it so much?
But look, I'm just saying, Bart, the story, though, here is to be careful, because it sounds great. Trade it for a bunch of picks. And I was on board with you. I listened to it. I'm like, you know what? That sounds great. Get a ton of picks. But you've got to get them right. And Parcells, you could argue, didn't get it right. Like, that wasn't it. Orlando Pace was the way to go. Clearly, we learned, but it's a hindsight on that one. But all those picks, they're just air. All these, all you people, and I'm part of the problem too. All you people that love the idea of collecting all these draft picks, look at all that value you have in these draft picks. They're nothing. They're air until you pick with them, until you create a player. I have a player now with that pick. Now the value is really shown. You have no value until you make the pick.
Yeah,
that's to me the scary part. You're passing on somebody who has all of the every reason to believe he's going to be an all-time quarterback.
Yeah.
And you're going to say no thanks because I'm going to get a bunch of picks to rebuild my roster. Well, you sure as hell better than hit on a lot of them. Not one or two, a lot of those picks that you get for him, so that it does make up for the fact that you say, well, I gave up a generational player, but I built a champion with that, with the assets I got from it.
But you know what's so good about this, Alan, is the fact that the Jets are so bad that they don't have to give up picks to move up to get Trevor Lawrence. And the fact that they still have two first-round draft picks because they made the Jamal Adams trade, they have enough picks to still be able to put good people around him so they can take both and sit on Sam Darnold.
I might be with you on that one.
So you can do both.
Yeah.
Because they have four first-round draft picks in the next two years. And then you know their second-round pick is going to be super high. Right, so you're fine. So
Bart, I'm feeling like
they can do both.
I feel like keep Sam and get Trevor and let the two of them figure it out.
Yeah, and you can always
go from there. And then if Trevor just is like lights out right away, okay, now we'll move Sam.
Well, no. What you want to do, no matter what, you put Sam out there, because if you go get Trevor Lawrence, you're saying that, hey, Trevor Lawrence is our quarterback of the future. So now you put Sam out there under display, and if he dies, he dies, right? You don't care, right? You put him out there, and you let him play and say, hey, if you want to go get traded and go to a place where you can make money,
was there any other situation like that? Was there any other scenario like that?
Yes. You want me to tell you the one?
Don't say Alex Smith.
It was Drew Brees.
Oh, Drew Brees, yeah, you're right.
It was Drew Brees.
Yes.
Drew Brees was balling for San Diego.
And Philip Rivers.
And then he got hurt in Phillip Rivers. And that's what it was. He was the first. Really, Phillip Rivers was the first overall pick. I know Eli, did it. But, Phillip Rivers was the first overall pick. And Drew Brees was right there playing well. And they were still a team that was playing well. And then Drew Brees got hurt.
Well, San Diego hasn't won a championship. So I don't know if that's. But it's, I just feel like as I look deeper into that Peyton Manning thing, the more I just say, I don't know if you pass on this guy in the draft. All right, let's grab a few more calls, Bart, because we do have Blitzer Friedman coming up. We got a lot of people on hold. Let's get as many in here as we can. Baseball as well as the Jets. And let's see. Let's get something where it's a different topic. Let's take Mike in White Plains. Mike.
Bart, Allen, big fans. Bart, this is for you, because I know you'll agree with me. This is a little bit outside the box. I think the Jets, they need to make a front-page move. They need to go after Dabo. You get Dabo, and Dabo. Trevor will come. Yes, Dabo Sweeney.
Bro,
they
Dabo's
fired, they let Adam Gase finish the year, because there's no point in hiring another coach right now. They fire Adam Gase after the year. They get Dabo. They go to Dabo and say, you have nothing left to prove in college. You've been in Alabama. You've been Nick Saban. There's nothing left. Come to New York. Come with Trevor. You get Dabo. You get Trevor. You trade Sam for probably a second or third round pick. You have two first round picks. You get another second round pick.
Mike,
build a team that way.
I don't want you to waste your energy, Mike. He makes $9 million
a
year.
And he'll never get fired. And he can say, you know what? I'm here because I was Nick Saban's assistant. I'm going to get as many national championships as he got. And I ain't got to pay for nothing in
this
time.
And if he's going anywhere, it'd be with Deshaun Watson in Houston.
Exactly. Because he loves
but
some
he has
more
nothing
than,
he left to prove in college, though.
But it's $9 million a year, man.
With
job security.
What do you think he's
going to I don't know if he's getting $9 million a year.
He's not getting $9
with job security.
Ain't
no job security in New York. In the pros, there's no job security. Why do you think Nick Saban never tried to come back? He tried and he ran back because he knew he could make $9 to $10 million.
And Bart, we've seen Dabo. Like, we see his personality.
That normie stuff, man.
Yeah, he sells really well in South Carolina. He sells really well.
In Houston, though. He'll sell well in Houston.
He will. New York, it'd be a different kind of thing for a guy like him. And I don't know if he wants. I'm not saying that he would be exposed. I don't know if he would want this whole thing in New York. It wouldn't make sense at all. Let's go to David in Woodbridge. Go ahead, David, on the World Series.
Hey.
What's happening?
Hey, guys, what's going on? I know you guys are going to get a bunch of calls about the cash move, but I wanted to talk more or less about the post game. I don't know if you saw. Definitely looks like Rob Manfred takes the crown as the most hated commissioner in football.
Isn't that amazing?
In baseball. In sports, rather.
In sports. It's amazing to say that when only like 2 years ago, people were putting him up there with Adam Silver as being progressive and, you know, really good for his sport. And now all these, like 2 years later, it's a disaster for him.
It looked like he was a teacher in a high school class trying to hush down, yes. Trying to get a word in.
Yeah.
Couldn't even do that. And afterwards in his interview, I don't know if you guys saw it. God forbid, you know, people are making up rumors. Hopefully it's not a health issue, but he kind of looked banged up. He couldn't even speak. Sounded like he was drinking a little, you know, to take the edge off, maybe a little
said that.
That the season's over.
Think about what he's been through. And I'm not saying, like, you know, just so he should be having a few pops during the game, and I doubt he was, or maybe he was. I don't know. Maybe he's sick and he's taking medication. I don't know. But the point is you're right. The Turner thing, with having Turner out on the field, taking the mask off after you've already got the positive test. It's bad enough that he played while he was getting a follow-up test because of an inconclusive, and then you had to take him out of the game.
I mean,
Buster's going to join us at noon, and one of the questions we have to ask him is, would there have been a Game 7? Would they have had to take some time off if there was a Game 7? If the Rays ended up winning because of the exposure, Turner was in the game. You're going to tell me that, oh, we'll just play and everything will be fine? So there's so many questions to ask that went unanswered. And Rob Manfred was the guy who basically was like, here's your trophy, and left. Like, get me the hell out of here.
He's like, I don't know how many of y'all. Nah, I'm out of here.
Yeah. I mean, it just felt like that's where he was at that point. Because they went 58 straight days without a COVID positive. After what they went through early on. They went into the bubble. Everything was a complete success until the very last day. When they had an inconclusive, and then it turned out to be a positive, which turned out to be a player who's literally playing in a game right now. Got to get him off the field. And then when his team is celebrating a championship, he's out there. An hour later. Doesn't matter. He's out there. He's in the clubhouse. He's around his team. Why? Mike has a tweet for you, Bart.
Cool.
He said, I hate to break it to you, but Bart doesn't know The Rain, that song, The Rain. He was 6 years old when it came out.
Who?
To borrow one of his lines, we have hair on our chest older than him.
You talking about the
Orange Juice Jones song?
Come on, man.
He said, how could you know that song? You were 6 years old.
Nah, man, I know Orange
Juice Jones,
baby.
Mike is calling you out.
Because you want to know why? I got sisters that are 10 and 6 years older than me, and that's all they was bumping.
Mm-hmm. That song was amazing.
We was all about that life. You know what I'm saying? The same way I can remember Beverly Hills Cop. Same way I can remember Another 48 Hours and 48 Hours.
The
same reason I remember Raw. The same reason I know Trading Places.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? I know the decade that Eddie Murphy dominated. Eddie Murphy never had to make another movie in the world.
Nope. No, he did. He made kids movies.
Yeah.
That's how he got so – he did all his work in the 80s to a point where he's like, all right, now I'm just going to make kids movies.
Nobody in the history of theater, cinema, has ever had a 10-year run like Eddie Murphy. Ever. I bet anybody to tell me a better run than
comedian?
No, I'm talking about period. I'm talking about being the like entertainment. You talk about Delirious. You talk about Trading Places. You talk about 48 Hours, Another 48 Hours, Beverly Hills
he also,
Cop,
by the way,
the Harlem Nights.
I fought for no banana in my tailpipe.
He also, by the way, had a top 40 song throughout this whole thing, too. Somehow, some way.
My thanks girl to likes to party all the time. I don't know that one either, huh? Yeah, I ain't know that one either. Put so your hand, not your mouth on me. Yeah, don't be coming at me like I don't know my history. I don't know my history.
Oh, my God. This will all be on the podcast that Bart and I do that goes beyond sports. One
just
day.
Just Google it.
We'll Harlem Nights, Golden Child.
Great movie. I'm with you. I'm telling you, you had a hell of a run. Hell
10
of a
years,
run.
Nobody. And coming to America. Topped off with coming to America.
This portion of the show is driven by the Lexus ES, now available with all-wheel drive, giving you control and confidence, take on almost anything. Experience amazing! See you, Lexus dealer. You ready for Blitz or Prevent?
I'm born ready.
This is Blitz or Prevent.
We got the calls also on hold that we will get to, so hang with us. Buster only coming up at noon as well, so a busy show. And we go to Blitz and Preview beginning with the NFL. So the trade deadline's Tuesday, and the Dallas Cowboys, who are 2-5, yet still very much in it in the division, they're starting to get busy dumping off some players. So Everson Griffin dealt yesterday to the Lions for a conditional 6th. Griffin played his whole career with the Vikings, signed a 1-year deal with Dallas as part of like this revamp of their defense. Had that work out.
Yep.
So the Cowboys save about $6 million of his salary. By the way, more of the Cowboys' bad defense could be gutted. So Dontari Poe, Daryl Worley also reportedly told they will be released if no trade offers are made for them. So Bart Blitzer-Prevent. Blitzer-Prevent, while everybody who was pointing at Mike Nolan as the problem, he, of course, having the eye issue with the Tabasco sauce. Who hasn't dealt with that? Anyways, the Cowboys defense, the team is so far sticking with them and saying it's the players they acquired in the failed offseason rebuild that is to blame. So should Jerry Jones fire the GM?
Should Jerry Jones, the owner, fire the general manager? Yes and yes. He needs to just back up. And let somebody else run his, you know, let him go on his boat and just watch from afar. Didn't he have a meltdown on the radio the other day? Tell somebody to hang up, tell him to shut up.
Oh yeah, you might hear that on audio files in the 12 o'clock hour.
I tell you what, it's not Mike Nolan. And them getting rid of Everson Griffin is just saying, you know what, we didn't know that Randy Gregory is going to be able to get back. Randy Gregory's off I think he's reinstated. So
yes,
they want to go back with him. Why they haven't given up on this guy ever? I don't know how him or Josh Gordon get more drug second chances. You know what I mean? You talk about, yeah. I mean, Kaepernick still can't get in the league. These dudes have been suspended 3 times.
And by the way, speaking of perfect places for Colin Kaepernick to be, Dallas. They need a quarterback.
Come kneel with me, Jerry.
What a way for 2020 to end. Colin Kaepernick leading the Dallas Cowboys to the playoffs. Way for this year to end. That would be like everybody's head would just explode, wouldn't it? All right.
Well, what else you got for me?
All right, next up, NBA. So we should know by the end of the week, maybe by tomorrow I'm hearing, maybe tomorrow, I'm hearing sources, people telling me. The NBA will have an agreement in place with the Players Union to begin the 2021 season around Christmas. And when that season does begin, I'd say the Brooklyn Nets would be considered a championship contender, right? So it's something that Coach Steve Nash isn't running away from. Weird to say Coach Steve Nash, but he is. In fact, he said in his virtual town hall with season ticket holders this week that he wants that pressure. He wants that smoke. He said, "We're playing for a championship." Literally, that was his quote. So the question about the Nets isn't if they have enough talent to do it. A healthy Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, they certainly do. But the concern is that the Nets stars have been notoriously aloof, and Irving especially has had issues in past locker rooms in Boston and Cleveland. Nash made camaraderie a major talking point about this team and the importance of building a bond with the team. So, Blitzer-Prevent, this will be Nash's most important role as an inexperienced head coach. He's basically for the Nets what Aaron Boone is for the Yankees. Don't manage the team, manage the people. Your thoughts?
I mean, that's exactly what he is. I mean, he even brought another team-friendly guy and bringing Amari Stoudemire over to help him coach so it can be that whole feel-good zen. You know, isn't Stoudemire, is he like a what is he right now? He's some type of holy man or something like that. He's there for the chakra, for the zen and all that stuff. You know, the third eye.
He's there to develop Jared Allen, I think.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But I tell you what, this is what it's come to. This is what Kyrie wanted. They didn't want a coach. They wanted a partner.
Right.
I mean, what kind of crap is that, man? You got to have an order operation. I want a partner. I want somebody that's going to touch. So basically what you said
KD
is
KD said, I want somebody that looks at me as a person first.
What?
Man, you're a player. Let's go.
Yeah, you're
that.
A player, man.
Hey, this is what he wants. So they got what they wanted.
I tell you what, man. They let baby Forrest Whitaker run that organization if they want to, man. You know, they better figure it out, man, because I think what happens is
maybe Forrest Whitaker.
The hair. They both got the same hair. Remember they had the whole thing. Anyway.
All right. Last but not least. It's great. I can't wait to talk Nets with you all season long. World Series champion was crowned last night, and for the 11th straight year, it wasn't the Yankees. But one Yankee who's in the crosshairs of both the fan base and the front office is getting back to work to try to redeem himself, perhaps save his career. Gary Sanchez, the Kraken, El Gary, will reportedly be one of three Yankee players participating in the Dominican Winter League. Sanchez was essentially replaced in the playoffs by Kyle Higashioka, who we all like. After Gary hit 147 during the regular season with 64 strikeouts and 178 plate appearances. Remember Brian Cashman said Sanchez's future is, quote, one of the discussion points we're going to have to focus on this offseason. So Blitzer-Prevent, I appreciate the effort, but I also remember everyone gushing in January about how Gary was ripped after an offseason of workouts. He turns 28 in December, and it's time to get paid. The Yankees should proceed with caution.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell you what, man. If I got an opportunity right now, I'm saying, you know what? If I got to spend some money to get better, I'm going to get Realmuto. And maybe out of that price range that he's probably seeking $25 million a year, he probably wants $225. I'm taking a real consideration. because you got an ace. You hope that Severino comes back and he can be your number two. You got to make a decision on whether Tanaka's coming back. But you want to have somebody that everybody wants to pitch to. Somebody that you don't have to worry about having personal pitchers and all that type. I mean, personal catchers and things of that sort. You right. want somebody that's a professional, somebody that's respected, and somebody that got a cannon. He got the equal cannon. He got all the offensive firepower that you want. So if you're looking for the perfect catcher for think about Girardi, think about all the Yogi Berra. You think about the two-way type of players. You know what I mean? You think about putting Realmuto in the pinstripes. You may have some action.
Jorge Posada, Thurman Munson. I mean, you've got obviously a lineage here that you got to follow. And Gary was supposed to be that guy. And you're not in that conversation. And let's do audio files.
Let's do it.
The audio file.
So from the World Series last night, we just talked to Buster only about that. He had a lot of really good tidbits in that interview we did with him. If you missed it, of course, it'll be on the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can find it anywhere you find your podcast. And of course, on the ESPN app. Here's Kevin Kiermaier, by the way. As Blake Snell handled it the right way, being pulled, he basically said, look, Kevin Cash has made great decisions. I can't go against him. He knows what he's doing. Was he happy? No, but I'm not going to take shots at Kevin Cash, right? Kevin Cash said Blake did all the things. We felt like he did his job. All right, nobody agrees with that, of course. And one person that doesn't agree with it is Kevin Kiermaier. Here's what he had to say.
He was dominating. I don't really care what the numbers say. Third time through the order or whatever. There wasn't many guys making contact in general and no hard contact whatsoever. And coulda, woulda, shoulda. Who knows what would have happened. But, you know, he threw the ball great. That might have been the best I've seen him. It was incredible.
Two hits, man.
I mean, a lot of players. It's amazing how many players sounded off on this decision. Noah Syndergaard sounded off on it as well. Like, you had a lot of guys that just were not happy about this decision. And, I mean, you got to – like, wouldn't it bother you as a player that numbers are going to decide your fate, exactly. not your performance?
Numbers don't account for you. The it factor. Numbers don't equate for like being a big time pitcher, a big time game. It doesn't equate for when you're on. You know what it looks like, right? You know when somebody's on. You know that look in their eye when they're supremely confident. And that's what he was yesterday. He was in his bag yesterday, painting the corners, 98 up, down, all over, hitting all his spots. You got to ride that horse, man. Like Dusty Baker, he said he had an itch somewhere, and he said he was going to stay with his horse. You know what I'm saying? Obviously,
yeah, it's amazing, right? Dusty Baker said that about Zach Greinke. I looked in his eyes. I had a feeling.
I looked in his eyes.
Dave Roberts said it about Clayton Kershaw earlier in the playoffs as well. That's my guy. I trust him. Like, I go with my gut. And this is not one of those situations. So how about this quote from Jack Morris, one of the reporters called him during the game, and it was the 29th anniversary of his Game 7 where he was lights out, complete game. And he said, quote, Blake Snell was throwing better tonight than anyone I've ever seen in the World Series. These analytics guys we have now think numbers are more important than having an ace at his best on the hill, end quote. And the final thought is basically this, is there's a place for the stats in the sport, but when it starts to control the sport, you lose fans. Yep. It's not entertaining anymore. You want to see the human element of the athlete at his best and how far he can take it, because there is no analytic for heart. There is no analytic for nerves. And I feel like we were robbed of that in this performance. So, anyways.
He was robbed of his moment, his Bumgarner moment.
Maybe.
His complete game moment. His opportunity to put himself up there with the elite performances in World Series history when the cards were stacked against his team and they needed him to pitch a gem. And that's one of those things, man. Like, at the end of the day, let's not talk about what Snell did. Let's not talk about Kiermaier. Let's put the Geek Squad dude that sent down put the analytics on. About it was time to get him up out of there, even though we know that Mookie Betts was struggling against left-handed pitchers all year long, not alone elite left-handed pitchers.
Very interesting, man. This topic, as Buster told us, will probably carry on into the offseason for baseball. Meanwhile, basketball, as we mentioned, could be back for the new season as early as late December. And that means teams that played in the finals will have a very short offseason, a very short one. LeBron tweeted last night, by the way, which caught J-Dub's attention, throughout all the celebration by the Dodgers, is LeBron put out a tweet as well now saying, you know, can we have a parade? He said, please have a parade. I know we can't, but damn, I want to celebrate with our Lakers and Dodgers fans. LA is a city of champions. And J-Dub said, that's LeBron's passive-aggressive way of reminding people, hey, by the way, I'm still a champion.
Come on, man. Nobody, listen. He's mad because now the Dodgers are going to be celebrated. So that means whoever's champion second gets celebrated longer because they're fresh in people's minds and the fact that they haven't won it since 88. So LeBron's like, no, us, we can do it together. This is the LA takeover. Man, get the hell out of here, LeBron.
There's more. You really want to get mad, LeBron? Here's LeBron. Now, Brian Windhorst is on SportsCenter, and he's offering up what he knows to be LeBron's thoughts on the quick turnaround of a December restart.
LeBron is not crazy about this idea of starting the week of Christmas, and certainly they would be playing on ring night, which would be the 22nd, and certainly be the showcase game on the 25th. Now, I will point out that at one point LeBron said he wouldn't play when fans weren't in the building. So sometimes he's got to process things. What the league is offering up to LeBron and some of those other players who are worried about this is a two-week break at mid-season to sort of give them something to look forward to in a break to recover. But I have to be honest with you, the players also recognize that could be a buffer zone in case there's game canceled or postponed for COVID-19. So we'll see. I would wager that LeBron is there, but he is not happy about this idea.
Now, I'll tell you what. I'll give you your thoughts. I'll let you do your thoughts, but let me just quickly say this. LeBron, remember, is also a guy that is against load management. Spoke out about it last year, how he'll never sit out if he's not injured, that he'll play every single game. And now this sets up for him to need to take some days off, perhaps, to rest his body early. And this could affect his ability to win a second championship in L.A. And I think that's on his mind. His clock now is, I mean, we know this. It's catching up. It's going to eventually for LeBron. And this quick turnaround could age him quickly. What do you think?
I mean, everything's about LeBron. Every statement he does is about him. It's not about the other, 28 teams or so that didn't have opportunity to play basketball, getting that opportunity to earn any revenue or any money in the organizations that basically has their basketball operations brought to a halt, for the better end of almost a year now. Since you think about the Knicks and all the other teams that didn't get the opportunity to play, for the right to go to the playoffs. What about those teams, LeBron? What about the fact that those guys haven't been able to earn a living, that they haven't gotten a check because they weren't playing any games? How about, new coaching staffs and things like that need to get their guys playing and need to have something to look forward to? Mm-hmm. Like, understanding that it's really just two or four teams that really can make that complaint. And guess what? Those four teams are good teams that should be able to handle cutting your minutes down. But at some point, we got to get the game going. We can't allow last season to affect this season to the point where we don't earn any revenue. Already lost a lot of revenue. We ate that as a league. We shouldn't have to eat that twice in a row because you need more nap time, LeBron. Get your bottles of wine, call Stoudemire, get your red wine, and soak in it. And then we see you in January, February. If that's the case, your team and Anthony Davis, who's young, should be young enough to be able to carry the team against some bad schedule. I tell you what, LeBron, we'll schedule all the bad teams, no teams above 500. But guess what? It don't matter because the Golden State Warriors are back. And they taking names. They kicking ass and taking names, LeBron. And guess what? Your name is circled twice.
Final thought for me on the whole LeBron thing and him feeling this way and maybe even others is this. It's from Star Trek. Spock said this. The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few in this case. And the NBA needs to play. And LeBron needs to understand that. Anyways, moving on. Jerry Jones, I asked you earlier, should the owner fire the GM? Because there's a problem with Dallas, and you could say it's all player-related. It's all the players, but the players, you always say, attitude reflects leadership. So Jerry Jones was asked on his regular spot on 105.3, The Fan in Dallas, if there's a leadership void in Dallas.
But seriously, where would you have a leadership void? Is it an experience void? Is it a talent void? Is it a leadership void? I'm not trying to be cute here. The answer is no. The answer is no.
I'm asking you.
There's not a, well, just shut up and let me answer. No. When I go into the locker room, there's no leadership void in my eyes.
Well, because you're the leader.
Yeah, when you go in the locker room, everybody shuts up. You're like Debo. When Jerry be around, I be quiet. When he leave, I be talking again. What the hell are you talking about, man? Of course, you can't control if it's leadership. When you talk about leadership, we're talking about voided leadership from a team's perspective. Who's the leader? There's no Tyron Smith in that locker room. It's no Zach Martin in that locker room. You know, I don't think that Lawrence is the leader, right? Ezekiel Elliott doesn't come off as a leader. So who's the leader? Because obviously, when the dude said, "Hey, we can't be expected to pay 70 snaps hard," it's a void of leadership. Because somebody should pull him to the side, like, "Hey, man, we don't speak like that around here. Shut your damn mouth. You don't speak for us." It should be expected that we're making multi-$1 million that we can play hard for more than 70 damn plays, man. Come on, man. High school kids play both ways and play more than 80 snaps a game. Come on, man. Yeah, the coaching allowed to happen, and Jerry Jones has created this cushy, soft, plush environment, and that's why they never exceed expectations, no matter who's at quarterback, no matter how healthy they are. And that's on you, Jerry.
It's something that is it ever going to change? Maybe not, as he is in charge there, and especially if he's running football operations. Last but not least, it's a story we really haven't had a chance to get to, so we're a little late on it, but let's do it anyway. Thanks to DJ Lughead. The Giants had a little controversy during their mini bye after playing Thursday night. Video of Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, who, by the way, has to have his surgery still on the ACL tear in his knee, were videoed at a bar without masks from Friday night, hanging out, partying, whatever. Not a big crowd of people, but they're in Manhattan hanging out. And in one part of the video where Lughead, you know, is basically bragging about hanging out with Danny Dimes and Saquon, there's a woman in the background handing Daniel Jones a drink, and he gladly just accepts it and scoffs it down. So now it's a situation, of course, for the Giants to look into and see if there's any issues, any maybe even COVID-19 violations, because, oh, by the way, neither player was wearing a mask. Joe Judge commented on that about the players being out on Friday.
Yeah, I've spoken to all the individuals involved as well as the entire team on what happened this past weekend. We're going to deal with things internally. The only thing I'm going to say on that is, you know, this group of guys has been very responsible from the very beginning. They've tried to do the right thing the entire time. Based on the conversation, the information I've gathered from our players, I believe they're trying to do the right thing as teammates with going out and having dinner together the other night. We have to make sure that we're just conscious as an organization in everything we do. Anything else on top of that, we're going to deal with internally.
That's the right way to handle it. I don't think neither Saquon nor Daniel Jones are bad guys. I just think they're young guys who had a Friday night off, did what they were doing in a small group, and this knucklehead took out his phone, as always.
Thirst trap.
And decided to make himself the hero when all he was supposed to be doing was just being their driver. Right? So I'm not, this is much ado about nothing. I'm not excited about this. You?
Yeah, not at all, man. Like, just listen, this is one of those things. They thought they were in a safe environment with each other. And, you know, they took the mask off. You know, you got to understand what the optics are. But, you know, you got to be careful about who you bring in and make sure that they sign some NDAs or something so that they keep their mouth shut and not be out there trying to benefit from the fact that he's hanging around y'all. He's actually there at working capacity, but he's trying to clout chase and he's trying to boost himself on the names and the reputation of other guys. And, you know, for that, you disqualify yourself from ever being able to do something with us again.
100%.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.